Welcome back to Exodus. We left off after four plagues, the Pharaoh still hardening his heart and digging in his heels. And today, chapter 9. Jonathan, open it up for us.
Verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses, donkeys, and camels, and on your cattle, sheep, and goats.'"
The thing that strikes me here is the repetition of the phrase, "This is what the Lord says." At first, I glossed over it. Of course, this is what God says. But then I remembered an important rule of Bible study. Repetition is a clue. Repeated words and phrases are keys to unlock meaning. And this is the fourth time that the Lord instructs Moses to use this phrase, "This is what the Lord says." And this time he adds the phrase, "the God of the Hebrews." Why? I believe that God is establishing the authority of his word. This is not just a story of one brave soul taking a stand against tyranny and oppression, as noble as that would be. Pharaoh challenged, "Who is the Lord?" And the Lord is responding. He says, "Let my people go."
And that phrase is another key repetition. This book is about freedom, about release from captivity. The authority of God's word takes a stand against oppression. And notice that the freedom has a purpose. Let my people go so that they may worship me. And the same is true for us. God sets us free from sin with a purpose.
Now the fifth plague will be upon the livestock. Livestock are valuable and vital to working the land. But for the Egyptians, cattle were also sacred, even deified. The Egyptian god Apis was represented by a bull. One cult surrounding Apis would select a living bull and call it the Apis Bull, said to be the living image of the god Ptah. Also, the highly venerated god Hathor was pictured as a cow or with a cow's head. And with that, Egyptians held the animals themselves as sacred. Now, I have to admit, part of me wants to say, so what if they considered cows sacred? Animals are awesome. So what's the big deal?
That's a good point, but keep in mind, they venerated the work animals like gods as they enslaved humans, made in the image of the true God. And that's the nature of idolatry. It flips our priorities. When we replace God with money or pleasure or success or livestock, it changes how we treat people.
That's good insight. And once again, with this plague, verse 4 tells us that the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die.
You have to wonder here why God didn't make that distinction in all of the plagues. But it holds true for us as well. Following God does spare us from some of the world's troubles, but not all of them. Sometimes we go through it with the world, and it's our response that sets us apart. But other times, God totally rescues us out of the troubles.
And true to his word, the plague hits the Egyptians' livestock, but not one of Israel's animals dies. And yet, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. And so we move to plague number 6. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on people and animals throughout the land."
Some commentators believe that the furnace and soot used may have been related to human sacrifices made to the Egyptian god Typhon, and thus this plague was a condemnation of this awful practice. Now, the Bible doesn't say that, so it can't be confirmed, but we do know that dust spread and the boils appeared, and in verse 12, "The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron."
This is the first time that the Lord steps in to harden Pharaoh's heart. His opportunities to change course are up, and God is determined to play this out to the end.
Hebrews warns us, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." A hardened heart eventually gets stuck. This is not a violation of free will. It is the confirmation of a stubborn will.
Verse 13 brings us to plague number 7. Once again, "This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, 'Let my people go, so that they may worship me.'" And once again, the Lord wants the people to know something. This time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. Watch that. This is not a story of Israel's God versus Egypt's gods. This is about the whole earth.
And look at verse 15. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with the plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So God says, if you're still alive, there's a reason for it. There is a purpose to this plan. Egypt will know that there is no one like God, and his name will be proclaimed in all the earth.
Above all else, this story reminds me to stand in awe of God. He is awesome beyond measure. We can try to wrap our minds around arguments about God's sovereignty and man's free will, or try to explain every detail of God's reasoning and God's plan here, but he is God and we are not. Sometimes we just need to know that there is no one like him in all the earth. So fear God and keep his commands. And yet, Pharaoh has set himself against God and against God's people. So the Lord promises the worst hailstorm ever to fall on Egypt. And he offers fair warning. Take shelter now. Get the word out.
Verse 20 is interesting. Those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside. And that respect for God's word paid off. Those who ignored it suffered for it.
Verse 23. When Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth.
And the hail struck everything in the fields and stripped the trees. And yet, for the Israelites in Goshen, no hail. And Pharaoh tells Moses, "This time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong." He asks Moses to pray, and he says, "I will let you go."
Promises, promises. But words are cheap. And watch Moses' words. "When I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop, and there will be no more hail, so you may know that the earth is the Lord's. For the sixth time, so that you may know. And this time, know that the earth is the Lord's." And what a truth for us. The whole earth belongs to God. We are caretakers and stewards, and we are responsible for the earth as God enables us. But the whole earth is the Lord's.
In verse 30, "But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God." After seven plagues, they still don't fear God. It's amazing. And Moses is right. When the hail stops, Pharaoh and his officials harden their hearts again.
So if Pharaoh's teary repentance wasn't the fear of God, what was it?
It was probably just fear of the consequences, which is regret, not repentance. And God knows the difference. Seven plagues down, three to go. Read Exodus 9, and we'll meet you back here next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.